I don't know that I am right now. The same subject is still on my mind. And I have a question for you all. Have any of y'all ever been in debt? Most people have not paid for their homes outright. They are able to live in that home before they own it. They put down a little money and they pay on it monthly. And they work hard. They have to work. It's the biggest expense that most people ever have is their home. And they work really hard and they're under a lot of burden to get it paid off. Who owns it? The bank did. The bank does. The bank actually owns it because they loaned you the money that you pay it back. There's a lien against that. They're the lien holders. And after most people work 30 and sometimes they take out second and third mortgages on their homes and they may be paying on their homes up to 50 years or more. Some people never get them paid off. But for those of you that have, when you made that last payment, what did you get? You got a title, right. Did you?
Right.
The ones that had the lien on your home that owned it actually provided a declaration to you that you now own this home free and clear. It's free and clear. And you know something? That song that we sang, "When I Can Read My Title Clear," I want to read it. You know, I never did really, really understand what this song was talking about until about 3 weeks ago. Did y'all? I mean, I'm in the dark most of the time. But listen, it says, when I can read my title clear to mansions in the skies, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes.
Amen.
Should earth against my soul engage and fiery darts be hurled, then I can smile at Satan's rage and face a frowning world.
Amen.
I didn't know about this verse, but I like it. Let cares like a wild deluge come. You know what a deluge is, don't you? It's a flood. Let cares like a wild deluge come. Let storms of sorrow fall, so I but safely reach my home, my God, my heaven, my all. There I shall bathe my weary soul in seas of heavenly rest, and not a wave of trouble roll across my peaceful breast. Did you know the Bible talks about that? It talks about, first of all, what you got a title to. Do you know what you have a title to? It's called several things in the Scriptures, but Paul, and most of the time, it talks about an inheritance. And an inheritance is only pertaining to children. isn't it? I mean, when you talk about wills and things like that, you might will something to somebody, but the only inheritance, if I've got it right, I mean, the lawyers are gone today. I don't think it's, at least the ones that I know, they're gone. Maybe I need to talk to Brother Tim about that, but and Brother Chris, but from my understanding, wills and inheritances are given and are pertaining to children, right? So, if he's talking about an inheritance that we've been given, and Peter describes it very wonderfully in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." No, wait, wait. Let me just turn over there. I don't want to butcher it. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us." Again, what does begotten mean? Well, that means to a child. He's begotten us again unto what? Unto a lively hope. Not a dead one. Not a shaky expectation. No. But a lively hope. An active one, one that's real, and one that has a solid basis, a lively hope, by the resurrection of the dead. We heard about that last night a little, didn't we? By the resurrection of the dead, to what? To what? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, isn't that great? Now, he says that this inheritance is undefiled. Now, if you want to talk about earthly inheritances, what are they made up of? They're made up of either real estate or stuff, money. What happens to that? It is corrupted probably most of the time. If you got a bunch of land and a bunch of trees on it, all it'd take is one lightning strike and all of it'd be burned up, and all you'd be left with is scorched earth. Now, I tell you that all the stuff that we have is not only corruptible, but it fades away, right? That's what we have a title to. We have a title to the place, to the inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fades not away. You know, a lot of people, they are inherit a lot of stuff, and guess what? They squander it because they use it, abuse it, and then it's gone. Just like the prodigal who, when he was gone from his father's house, the father gave him all of his living, didn't he? And what did he do? He squandered it. And when it was all gone, that was his inheritance. And he squandered it. Did you know all the inheritances of the earth? They fade away. They're corruptible. But you know what? This inheritance that we have is incorruptible. That means it's holy and pure in its essence. Not able to be corrupted. So no corruptible things will ever enter there. Right? So it's incorruptible. So nothing corruptible will go there. Aren't you glad that Jesus made us right? Aren't you glad that Jesus made us fit to enter there? But we're not there yet, are we? We're not fit yet. I mean, we're not changed yet. I mean, He made us fit. But not all the way yet. We're going to have to be changed. See, we're all sinners. Now, this inheritance, it's reserved in heaven for you. Now, that's what we've got a title to. Now, I made some reservations in my life, and normally what I do is I call the place, and I'll, whether it's a hotel or whether it's an airline for air tickets, and I'll call them, and I'll secure that with a credit card, and I'll go ahead and pay a down payment or whatever it is. And then if I actually make and get to the room and check in and stay, then they will charge my credit card when I'm done. But guess what? Even if I don't go, they're going to charge my credit card.
Absolutely.
Unless I, cancel it ahead of time. But you know what? The wonderful blessing about this reservation is that Jesus made it.
Yeah.
Jesus paid for it. And did y'all know that Jesus is a good businessman? If Jesus paid for something, He will get it. He's not like me sometimes when I go to the grocery store. Have y'all ever done that? Y'all ever gone to the grocery store and paid for something in the checkout line and got home and realized that you didn't bring it home? Jesus is not like that. He's not going to leave any one of you that have been blessed and been given that inheritance.
Amen.
He's not going to leave a one of you at the checkout counter. He's going to take you home. So that's the blessing. How I might forget. But Jesus knows all of His children, don't He?
He sure does.
And He's going to take them all home. So this inheritance that we've got is wonderful, and it's reserved in heaven for us. When He said you, I put my name there. It's reserved for me.
Right.
So when you read it, you can put your name in it and say it's reserved for you.
That's right.
Isn't that good? You know, that's personal. That's right. He didn't just die for a group of people that He didn't know. He died for individuals. Oh, I believe He died for me. But you know, that's a clear title, isn't it? That's not what the song said, though. It says, when I can read it. When I can read it. That's what the title is, too. Did you know there's a lot of children of God who are walking around today that still think that there's a lien against that title? That there's still something owed. Now, in reality, there's nothing owed on that title. But they see it. And then, if something's owed, and they think they're the ones that owe it. And if they still owe something, and Jesus did His part, and it's up to me to do mine, then they're in a constant state of a, what do they call it, a dirty title? Is that what they call it? A dirty title that's got all kind of things wrong with it? Liens, other several people have an interest in this title, and it gets convoluted and legally difficult to figure out whose it is. There's a lot of God's children that can't read their title clear. Can't read it as free and clear. So how can we read it clear? How can we get to the place where we can read it clear? I mean, it's a happy day, isn't it? I've gotten titles to cars, in the mail, and that green sheet on there, it says paid in full, and I know that car's mine. And now with that title comes responsibility too, right? With that title comes some responsibility. I mean, you own it. It's yours. You got to take care of it. It's on you. Bank don't have anything else to do with it. Now, y'all understand, this is just an analogy. But there's a lot of folks that are walking around that are born of the Spirit of God, you understand?
Right.
That love Jesus, but can't read their title as being clear.
Right.
How can you get to the point where you read it clear? I want to turn over to 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it, you know, there's, if you can't read your title clear, if you struggle in your mind about exactly what did Jesus do and what is my responsibility, and then you feel good about it. Now, y'all, I'm talking about real stuff that people deal with on a daily basis, whether they tell you about it or not.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
They deal with it here and in here.
That's right.
Did I do enough? Have I prayed enough? I got a friend I saw just this morning. Oh, he hadn't voiced any struggles to me. But I know he does. I know he does. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's a good position. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God who hath reconciled. Whoa. What does that mean? Who hath reconciled. Now, my teacher in school told me about past, present, and future tenses of words. This hast reconciled is in the past tense.
Amen.
And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself. You know what's reconciling? What does that mean? It means to repair the breach. To make things right. If Brother Sam and I got in an argument, and I can't ever imagine that scenario, but if it did happen, and it got heated, and I stomped off my way and he stomped off his, there would have to be some reconciling done on both parties. Normally, both parties would have to concede something. And usually it takes one person to start.
That's right.
Now, God reconciled us to Himself. Didn't have anything to do with us, did it? He reconciled us to Himself. Now, that's good stuff. Reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Amen. And hath committed unto us. This is what He's committed unto us. The word of reconciliation. And I've got that word underlined in my Bible, Because one letter makes all the difference.
Right.
Doesn't it? It's not the work, W-O-R-K, of reconciliation.
Right.
It's the word of reconciliation.
There it is. Amen.
Now, he says, now then, I like that. Paul says, having that foundation, Paul says, now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. That's all these preachers that you see. That's what we are. And you know what? If you look in the mirror, you'll see one too. Maybe not in the same capacity as the preachers, but you'll see one. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Do y'all know, does that confuse you? He just said that God reconciled you. And then he turns right around and says, you be reconciled to God. Is Paul confused? I don't think so. I'm going to break it down for you in my southern English. God reconciled you to himself. Now you be reconciled to that fact. You be reconciled to that fact. Now I tell you what, if you want to read your title free and clear, you be reconciled to the fact that God knows what He's doing, and He sent somebody that He knew could get the job done, and He sent somebody else after He did the job to tell you about it.
Amen.
That's it. And when you believe it, it's a blessing to you. It doesn't make what Jesus did effective or ineffective. The unbelieving people and faithless people aren't going to make what Jesus did ineffective no more than your faith can make His work effective at all.
Amen.
Y'all get that?
Absolutely.
You know, we do that. We talk like that in the world all the time, don't we? Say, well, if you would have done that, then I would have done this.
Yeah.
You know, brothers and sisters do that all the time when they get in fights, don't they? Well, if you hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have done this. Or if you would have done that, I'd have done that. Jesus is not in heaven saying, well, son, if you would have done that, then I would have saved you. Does that make sense? That's crazy talk. Be you reconciled to God. Be reconciled to the fact that He reconciled you. But even if you do that, even if you do that, I can still see some people, and I have very close, dear friends in the world and in the Lord that are just now, in the past few years, seeing this. I was telling Brother Buddy about him this morning. His preacher. He said, I was preaching through Ephesians in the stand, and God arrested me. That's what his exact words were. He said, God arrested me while I was preaching and showed me His sovereignty. Y'all listen. He said, but I'm like a computer that's had its hard drive ripped out and a new one put in. I'm seeing things differently. I got a new one put in. He said, but I got a problem. He said, I don't know. He said, I got a lot of loose wires and I don't know where they go. Do y'all know? They're starting to see their title clear, but they're still having trouble. They still have trouble. They still may be thinking that they have to pay something on the lien.
Yeah.
A lot of folks are caught up in a spiritual rat race, aren't they? They're trying to keep up with the church down the road, or people down the road, families down the road. They're good and I need to be as good as them. And then the people that they're modeling themselves from, they're looking at somebody saying, I wish I could be like them. And all the time in their mind, they're thinking, well, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I've got these burdens on me that are weighing me down. Do y'all understand what I'm telling you this morning? Do y'all see the scenario? Do y'all see the people and the struggles that people have on the inside? They're struggling. You might not ever know it. They're struggling on the inside. They need for somebody to tell them some good news. Not only that, they got a title, but it's free and clear. Have I paid enough? Is what the mentality is. Have I done enough? Have I done enough good? Have I prayed enough? You know what it takes to really read your title clear? Surrender. It's surrender. I hear folks talk about surrendering all the time. It's surrendering whatever you think to the truth of God's Word. It's surrendering your trying to establish your own righteousness. And giving it up to Christ because He owns it anyway.
Right.
He's the one that paid for it. Paul deals with this so many times, doesn't he? In Romans 5, he says, therefore, he talks about being justified by faith. And this is a big subject. And I don't want to bite off more than I can chew, but I tell you, if you want to be able to read your title clear, then that's part of being justified by faith. Faith in what? Not faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. A lot of people believe that, right? But you have to actually have faith that Jesus Christ did what He came to do. And you have to understand what He came to do. I mean, He made it plain, didn't He? Angel said, for He shall save His people from their sins. You know, it's kind of simple, isn't it? The gospel message is simple. Jesus came to save. And He did. And He did. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't say that God has peace with us. Right? Because Jesus Christ is our peace. He is our peace. This is the same tenor. Paul talks about it in different ways, but it's it's almost a revolving door throughout the recurring theme throughout the Scriptures of how Paul does it. And he says that God reconciled you, you be reconciled to Him. Amen. He says God made peace with you through Jesus Christ. Now you have peace with Him through faith.
Amen.
That'll justify you as being one of His children. And I want to tell you, you know, it's a double-edged sword. If you don't do that, You're not going to be justified in your own mind that you're His. And I'm not going to justify you to the contrary. That's tough, ain't it? Y'all understand what I'm saying? That means that if you're living however you want to live and are not trusting in Christ and are not following Him, I'm not going to make excuses for your ungodly behavior saying, oh, he's just a good child of God. He's just disobedient. Now, that may be true, but I don't have the evidence. Is that hard? Is that too hard? I don't want to be too hard, but I tell you what, if you want peace, this is how you get it. This is how you get it. Being justified as being a child of God by faith, you have peace with God. And that faith is just not that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but it is that He is the Messiah that came to do the Father's will. That He died on the cross for our sins. I tell you what, that'll give you peace. And not only that, listen to what that faith does. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see, he just did it again. He said, you're standing in grace. I'm going to break it down for you. If I can, in my little country way. Hey, let's say grace is a spot. Let's say there's a 2x2 spot right here. And that's grace. And I'm standing in grace. I'm positioned in grace. And he's saying that faith is the key that unlocks your access to the place where you already are. We're in Christ. If you want to enjoy that, live your life by faith in Jesus Christ. And you'll have peace with God. You'll have peace with yourself. And you won't be trying to run around, jumping through hoops and pleasing everybody and trying to please God in order to gain access into heaven. And you'll have some rest.
Yes.
For your soul. And you think about access to grace. Man, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Amen.
Access to grace. Wow. Surrender. You know, I've heard that song. Y'all probably have. I surrender all. Y'all have heard that? I surrender all. If you want to see your title clear, you've got to surrender the work. You got to surrender the debt. Because Jesus paid. You've got to see Him high and lifted up. I tell you, if you want to have peace, come on and join the church. I tell you.